You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Mark, do you have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, for new subscribers, VRTrader.com is the shortcut to get to Leibovit VR newsletters. Years ago, we used to call the volume reversal survey, and my dogs obviously love that name. Anyway, years ago when we launched in 1979, it was the volume reversal survey, which is my technical indicator, and so now it's we still use that as a logo once in a while as well. But anyway, get to VRTrader.com and you sign in with a promo code 2022 half off, and you get 50% off for any of our newsletters. And in all these years, though, I at one point had been a money manager years back. I'm no longer managing money nor provide financial advice. We just do the newsletter, our market and economic and political commentary at the Leibovit VR newsletters. And again, the shortcut URL is VRTrader.com.
What's happening on the stock markets right now?
It's focused on just very narrow areas. It's a stock picker's market right now, and the big focus, at least in the last few days, because it's been going on for a while, is AI, but in particular some of the micro nuclear processing creator companies, some of the big energy companies like Constellation Energy and VST. That are out there, in the process of reestablishing nuclear power, and then some of the smaller ones like NNE, which was hot today, little stock that does microprocessors. So the focus on nuclear and general energy needs for the AI industry. So that's still the hot spot, but it's still fairly. Fairly narrow in terms of the market focus. Of course, we did see the S&P into new highs, but if you're really looking where the action is and where the rotation or the continued rotation appears to be in that area, some of the Mag 7 stocks had been underperforming a little bit. Like Tesla came down just the last couple of days after a nice pop, but strength had resumed into Meta, the former Facebook, and of course Microsoft, of course, is funding that Three Mile Island situation with Constellation Energy. So this love of nuclear, and only from a selfish reason, because the street decided and the tech industry, Silicon Valley, decided that we got to have unlimited power now to generate our power banks to run artificial intelligence. So what was considered taboo years ago now is love, that is nuclear power. So, but the same token, uranium itself, I was just looking at the chart earlier today, uranium was up a year ago this time, and it's, I don't know it's per pound or how it's actually measured, but the number was $103, and now it's down to about $73. So despite all the talk about nuclear and so forth, uranium prices have actually pulled off like 25% here over the past year. So maybe the run-up to over $100 for the UX uranium that they use in nuclear has come off, and maybe that's because of the micro processing companies and alternate energy out there that is also being explored. And I'm not talking about solar or wind power or anything like that, but we could be talking about perhaps natural gas, which has a little run here in the last couple of weeks, because the thought is, well, the nuclear is going to take a couple of years to get up and running. It's not happening overnight. We need it now. So where can we get some cleaner type energy? And there's a big jump on natural gas. So natural gas popped up a little bit. It's still very, very cheap compared to where it used to be. And, of course, liquefied natural gas had a run here, too, because apparently with the new U.S. administration and the opening up of markets in Europe for liquefied natural gas, even in Canada, too, as that sort of helped the liquefied natural gas stocks. So, you know, natural gas and the nuclear, you know, that's sort of where the focus of the trading has been. You know, we're talking about where the action has been in the market. I'm sure there's, you know, other places as well, but not as standout as those have been.
Gold, how's it doing?
It's been creeping up there. We're in the cyclical positive time of year into mid-February. You know, every year it could change a little bit. So we had mentioned this before in a previous recording, and this is not rocket science. It's just a seasonal tendency to be up. But after, and it could top out earlier, but sometime between now and mid-February, you should see some type of trading peak. And we'll see whether gold has the ability to go to new all-time highs during this next couple, 3 weeks, or whether it'll just, you know, double top up there and then go into a correction into the summer. So that's just a cyclical comment. Of course, it can go up anyway, despite the cycles, but that's sort of the way you can rationalize the strength here. And it's been, you know, it's been creeping up, some relative strength, but not a breakout into new highs yet. So we'll see if that happens. But, you know, I'm still a bull overall. I still have much higher targets, but, you know, the question is, how long are you going to live to see all these targets? I mean, they're going to be 6 months or 6 years, and that's sort of the problem with, you know, gold. You know, it has its cyclical time frames and ups and downs along the way. Of course, Trump loves gold, so maybe, you know, he's the one to put those gold curtains in the Oval Office a few years ago, and Biden came in, didn't take them down. He likes gold, so maybe that's a statement saying that maybe we don't have to worry about anything regarding a sudden change in direction there. And again, I'm not focusing as many do on, I've read some commentary last couple of days, the U.S. dollar, you know, starts to rally again or something, it's going to hurt gold. But I'm not in that camp at all. I think you have to look at each of these markets separately. Dollar's still in an uptrend. I think it's continued to be in an uptrend, particularly now with Trump in power, and gold could go anyway. So I'm not, you know, setting a divergent viewpoint here that one market has to do another because one's going up or down, vice versa. So anyway, still positive on the gold and silver. In fact, if you went to our newsletter and looked at our you know, subscribe to the newsletter, you see most of the stocks and the recommendations have been in resources, and particularly a lot of the gold ETFs and so forth, our list. So we've been in there.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with the Fed? What do you think is going to happen when they meet?
Well, that's you know, that's coming up on the 28th, and you know, if you look at the bond market, you know, the bond market hasn't been you know, cooperating that much. You know, the expectation, you know, or the hope was that we would see you know, another interest rate cut, and maybe politically, maybe Jay Powell wants to keep his job, because I know there's been rumors that he might be asked to resign and so forth. But you know, I don't think he wants to do that. I mean, of course, you know, where I'm coming from, people ask me about the Fed. I say, why do we even have the Fed? It should have been abolished a long time ago. And there has been talk in U.S. Congress about accountability for the Fed and justifying its very existence. I'm not the only one that has this thought. So I think the lifespan of the Fed's coming to an end at some point here, you know, in our lifetime. It's not going to last another 100 years or more than 100 years that it already has. So I'm just, you know, in that negative view. But we had a little pop in the another thing is, you know, two things we have to talk about here. Most people know this, but, you know, the bond market and what the Fed does are two different things, not necessarily the same thing. In the last couple of days, the 30-year long-term bonds have been pulling off, correcting. In fact, they were down a little bit today, which means higher rates on the long end of the interest rate curve. So if that's any message, it's the long bonds are saying, hey, you know, rates aren't going down here, and long rates are still elevated and may still go higher. And whether this is a forecast for what the Fed's going to do on January 28th, that I can't say. But, you know, it's sort of tail wags the dog type thing. The Fed's short-term rates, the Fed fund rate and the bond market is the long rates. And then, and I've been in the camp for the longest time, is that we need to maintain a free market and let the bond market tell us what rates should be, not what the Fed should be telling us, because they've been so dead wrong for decades and caused so many problems and missteps that they should be abolished and it should be a free market. And just like we have in stocks. I mean, of course, the Fed fools around with the stock market, too, and nobody talks about that. I mentioned this many times on this broadcast, intervening in individual stocks or, you know, all kinds of company interventions, bonds. I mean, one of the big ones with Harley-Davidson a few years ago, they went and bought a bunch of stock or bonds with Harley-Davidson. What the hell are they doing in that sphere? I'll never know. But in any event, you know, what the Fed decides to do is sort of irrelevant to what the bond market says, and we have to really watch the bond market. So at the moment, the bond market has been sort of trending down more or less in recent weeks, and that doesn't bode well for lower rates right now. Now, that could change, but it would be interesting to see what the Fed does. Will it try to lower rates just to provide an alternate opinion? Maybe it's a political move to encourage Trump so he doesn't try to ask for Jay Powell's resignation. I mean, who knows what's going to come out of that, you know, that meeting, you know, but I'm sure there's political pressure involved. But you know, if the bond market doesn't change, no matter what he does, makes no difference. The real thing the Fed could try to do and undo if they want is, you know, the money supply. And the money supply really hasn't come down. It's still sort of elevated. And Paul Volcker, you know, way back there in 1980, you know, when he really wanted to kill the economy and slow things down, he tightened up credit. He tightened up the money supply. He reduced the money supply, and that threw the country and the world into a serious sell-off. I think the rates got up to 20% back then, because he was trying to so-called break inflation. Of course, inflation is not only caused by, you know, what the Fed does, but by the external factors. I think we had an oil crisis and everything else at that time. But, yeah, so the Fed hasn't really done anything to curtail the money supply. So that's still out there, and it's slowly steady. I think it's still increasing a little bit. So, you know, that's a whole other thing that nobody really wants to talk about. But, you know, what they do with the Fed funds rate, it's go up or down a quarter point. That's not going to make a hell of a beans of difference, I don't think, in terms of what rates are going to do here. So watch the money supply, watch the long-term bonds. And for the time being, we have to assume rates are going to stay elevated until we hear otherwise.
What's going on the crypto front?
A lot of exciting stuff. I'm going to be sending out some emails. I'm associating myself with a good friend of mine who's even more of an expert in crypto than I am. I'm going to send out some bulletins to everybody on my list about another service that I'm sort of affiliated with that is doing, you know, more work in the crypto area. I do have my blockchain letter, but there are a lot of people even a lot smarter than me that do a lot more in the crypto area. What should I say? Super positive. I don't know if we're talking, you know, 1 month or 1 year or, you know, what type of time frame you want to be in. But I think with the Trump's approval or, you know, confidence in the crypto and Bitcoin world, regulation has been held back in the crypto area, particularly with Gary Gensler at the SEC, and he's left, all kinds of stuff. So I think there's going to be huge moves. And I'm going to be talking about this a little bit in this little bulletin. I'm going to be sending out some of the recommendations in there about some of these, you know, names that, you know, we're talking, you think the stock market goes up 20% a year or whatever, that's great. Some of these things could be doing 200, 300, 400% type moves here in the next year or two, which makes it a market you have to look at. So I'm very positive. And, you know, like anything else, you know, you saw with Bitcoin trading up and down, but I think, you know, the place to be may be more in the crypto market for the next year or two than the stock market, which has already had a big move. And if the Dow Industrials even goes to 60,000, you know, it's 40,000, and you can say, oh, that's great. You know, that's, you know, another, you know, 20 or 30%, you know, 30% plus move. But, you know, what if you can make 200, 300% in some of these cryptos? And there are a lot of intelligent people out there are now talking about Bitcoin, which is what, about 105,000 going to 250,000 even this coming year. And that's a double. That's 100% return. So, yep, you got to be in there, bottom line. So just wait for my emails and sign up for my blockchain letter. And I think it's, you know, more than just a casual investment. It's like where the action is. You know, Trump wants to create a well, he's talking about it, whether it's going to happen, you know, having a reserve, a national Bitcoin reserve or government money getting into the Bitcoin or into the cryptos. And you can't forget Elon Musk with his Dogecoin, because they got Doge, he's that same name with regard to this committee to evaluate government spending and so forth. But he has a coin called the Dogecoin. I, you know, fondly call it the doggy coin because you spell D-O-G-E. You know, it's trading around 35 cents. I think it was as high as 80 cents, down to about 20 cents, or maybe even lower, maybe about 10 cents in the last year or so. So that thing could really, you know, perhaps kick in because of his, you know, affiliation with Trump and the fact that he likes it and things that could be a medium of exchange for a lot of cool things. So a lot of action out there. It's fun. So I think you got to definitely look at it.
Anything on the geocosmic front we have to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, we do. We got a lot of goodies here. So glad you brought it up. So anyway, on January 25th, which is only a couple of days from now, we have this planetary alignment where all the planets, you know, sort of line up in the solar system. And this is not astrology. This is, you know, real physical science. So there's an alignment of all the planets on the 25th. And is that going to have any effect on the Earth or our emotions or the astrologers or anything else? I don't know. But it's January 25th. So apparently it only happens once in a rare while. So look for the planetary alignment in the sky. Apparently you might be able to look up and see them sort of in a line. So all the planets in our solar system are cooperating on that date. So we've got a full moon on the 29th of the month, the next day, which is the day after the FOMC, the Fed meeting, which is sort of interesting. That comes, you know, pretty close to that. And a couple of days after that, we got Groundhog Day, February 2nd. And over the years, regardless of what Puck the Bunny Phil says when he looks or doesn't see his shadow on February 2nd in Pennsylvania, the markets tend to have some volatility around that date. I remember I was driving down, in fact, from Vancouver, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. I remember, I think it was right after day either side, maybe 2 days after Groundhog Day, and the market had like a mini crash just around that time. And I said, boy, that's odd. So I went back and looked, and you generally see some volatility around Groundhog Day. So I guess it's not the groundhog. Obviously, there's some of the market cycles or planetary forces coming in around that early February time frame that causes potential volatility. So keep an eye on that one. And, you know, the overall market cycles, you know, we've got the vernal equinox coming up in March. You know, the markets, you know, S&P went to new high, and I'm not going to argue with that, but there have been a lot of stocks underperforming here, too, recently. And it's not only, you know, just the big names or others, the smaller ones that have been underperforming too. But we're in this time frame in the first quarter where you could get, you know, a little shakeout. It could happen, you know, maybe starting tomorrow, you know, maybe goes into the Fed meeting, it goes into the Groundhog Day time frame or thereafter. So it's a little time frame you got to watch out for. You know, you may see everything pull back. Could be gold, could be crypto, could be the S&P, everything could maybe get into a little indigestion here during this little cyclical confluence. And finally, the only thing else I could talk about is there's a, you know, a solar flare headed our way. According to the spaceweather.com, there's one that's producing a total flare, a high category M3, and it's directed toward the Earth, and it's supposed to, you know, actually hit tomorrow, the 24th. Whether it's just auroras in the sky or it's more significant or not. But if you go to spaceweather.com, they're tracking this, solar flare that's sort of coming out of the sun at this point. So we've had increased solar activity anyway. We've talked about this for a while. And it does affect the Earth, and it does affect satellites and affects shortwave radio and all kinds of fun stuff. So it's interesting to monitor it. We just always hope that we never get a super big one, like the Carrington event back in 1860 or thereabouts, which could really neutralize the planet. But outside of that, that's coming up tomorrow. So that's sort of the update on the cycles.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.